It's nice to be here today. This is about the size of my congregation that I had up in the mountains, except that they all sat on this side. 20 years before, there'd been a leak in the roof on this side. And everybody moved over here, and the leak had long been fixed, but, you know, habit. People tend to sit in the same place all the time. You know, this is my seat. You can't sit here. I've heard that before. When I first started preaching, I was told that there's two things you have to preach about every so often. One of them is tithing, and I'll leave that to Robert. But the other one is sin. Now, we all supposedly know what sin is, and we think to ourselves, it's this big thing that comes in and takes over our lives. But I worked for the Employment Security Commission for many years, and one time a computer died because I was supposed to be the computer guru. I knew how to turn them on and off. I got this computer set up, and it turned out there was a virus on it. And so I went to try and erase the virus, and I ended up formatting the entire hard drive. Anybody that doesn't know computers, that wipes out everything on the computer. So I got to thinking about that in relation to sin. See, because when sin comes into your life, it's not something big. It's usually something small. It's like a cancer cell, okay? You get one cancer cell, and what happens? It multiplies and turns into more and more and more until it can take over your entire body. Well, it's the same thing with a computer virus. It can start out with some small little thing, and little by little, it can completely overwrite your entire hard drive. So if you don't take care of it, when you find out about it, what happens? Well, with cancer, we know what happens. We die, okay? I mean, that's fairly simple. Need to take care of things when they happen. These little things that come in and get us. Now, in the scripture today, what happened with Eve? Okay, a couple things. Number one, she was where she probably shouldn't have been. And she was looking at the tree. And probably thinking to herself, that's a pretty tree. Boy, that fruit looks good. But no, God told me not to. But man, that fruit looks good. I bet it's juicy. Now, up until that time, she had never been in contact with lies. She'd never been in contact with somebody who wouldn't tell her the truth. And so now the devil comes along in the shape of a snake. And he whispers in her ear, "Oh, no, that's not what he meant. He didn't want you to eat from this because he knew how great you would be. You would be as great as he is if you would just eat of this fruit." Now, instead of doing what we're supposed to do when we're tempted, instead of going to God and asking for assistance, asking for help, she figured, "Hey, it's no big deal. I can handle this on my own. You know, but oh, that fruit looks so good. I'm just going to take a bite. Oh, that's good. Adam, you got to try this. This is absolutely wonderful." At one little tiny act, what happened? Sin entered the world and had filled the entire world. Just like that virus can fill your entire hard drive. Sin has come into our lives. And it's not big stuff. It's little stuff. In Deuteronomy, the Lord talks about taking over different countries. And when you do, he wants you to destroy the gods that they have that are made of metal, gold and silver. And any metal at that time was very precious. And so God said, take them and destroy them. Burn them in the fire. Get rid of them entirely. Because they are a temptation to you. And one of the Israelites, knowing better, being a little greedy, kept some of that gold, and he took it to his tent, and he buried it underneath his tent. Nobody will find out. And they did. And he was stoned to death. Now, it's not often that we will have physical death come from our sins. There are some that can result in death. But what we're talking about is your spiritual death. What's going to happen to you when that little bit of sin enters your life and starts crying at the door? Nothing big. It's a microbe. How do you get sick? From germs. So tiny you can't even see them. Think of sin that same way. It comes into our lives very easily. The devil is not some great big guy with horns and a forked tail and a pitchfork and breathing fire. The devil is stuff that we love, stuff that we like, something that will attract us. Anybody ever watched the TV show Lucifer? Anyway, this is supposedly Lucifer has come to Earth. He's tired of being in hell, and he's come to Earth, and he's doing all this stuff, and he's helping this detective solve crimes. And every so often, you will see him change from this good-looking guy to this monster mask. Okay? Well, that's what the devil does, is he appears to us as something good. Oh, just taste the apple. Just taste it. It's delicious. Nothing major. You just have to take one bite. That's all. Just have to do this one time. That's all. And what happens? We get taken over by sin as it comes in and rewrites our hard drive and makes us something we are not. You know, none of these big people in the world that you see that we view as sinners that do all this awful stuff started out doing all that awful stuff. They started out doing little things. Like I've told you before, I'm a retired cop, so I've had a contact with some not nice people. And some of these people started out doing what? Pulling the wings off of flies. No big deal. Major. I wonder what happened if I tried it with a puppy. Oh, yeah, then that was cool. I wonder what would happen if I tried it with a human being. Okay. Didn't start out that way. Didn't wake up one morning and say, hey, I'm going to eat a human being. Yep. No. Started out small. That microbe, that tiny virus that enters into your system and can destroy you. That is sin. If we find that we have succumbed to temptation, like Eve did, like that soldier did, the Israelite soldier, then what do we do? We do what Eve did not do. We turn to God and ask for strength. We ask for help. I am not strong enough by myself to overcome the temptations that come into my life. It cannot be done. We were won by the blood of Christ. He died for our sins. He died for those little temptations that come along and nibble at your mind and urge you to do something that you really shouldn't be doing. When I was little, if I'd done something wrong, I would not confront my parents with it and tell them the truth. I would hide, or I would, well, maybe not lie, but, you know, kind of twist the truth around a little bit. It wasn't because I was worried about getting a whipping. You know, I doubt if my dad ever swatted us more than two times each time that he had to give us a licking. He didn't kill us. He got our attention. The thing is that I wouldn't go to them and confess. because I was embarrassed. I wanted to be a good little boy. And now I'd done something I knew was wrong. I love to read. I would stop by after school on the way home. Well, it was kind of out of the way home. It was a drugstore. And they had comic books. All kinds of comic books. I would stand there and read comic books and not be home on time. And Mom would send my brother after me, and he would come and say, "Hey, you got to get home." Well, I knew I was already in trouble. You can't be in more trouble. So I stayed there and read more comic books. Ended up getting not just myself in trouble, but my brother as well. He just loved it. The thing is that we do that. We try and hide. We cannot hide these things from God. Our son was about, 9, maybe 10 years old. Had a bicycle. Had specific places he was not supposed to ride his bicycle. One of them went to the concrete drainage ditch down the block. Well, he did. Having a great time, because the sides of the drainage ditch slope, and you can ride that bicycle up on there, and, down and back and forth, and oh man, it is more fun until you dump your bike right into a bunch of glass and ended up with a cut about, 3 inches long across the calf of his right leg. Well, you don't want to tell Mom and Dad that you were someplace that you weren't supposed to be, so he tries to sneak this cut into the house. He's bleeding like a stuck pig. It's a little hard to hide. let's be truthful here. You can't just hide blood. I know they try and do it in the movies all the time, but you can't do it. And so he got in trouble. He did not want to admit how it had happened until we questioned him closely. Are we that way with God? When we do something wrong that we know is wrong, do we try and hide from him? What did Adam and Eve do after they ate the apple? And the Lord came walking into the garden and says, "Adam, where are you?" I'm over here. I'm hiding from you. Because I think maybe, possibly... maybe I did something wrong, I'm not sure. We do the same thing. We try to hide from God, and we can't. Sin invades our life every single day from every single direction. Anybody here watch television? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Or you go to the movies, or you get on the computer. I'm very fortunate in that the group of people I have on my Facebook page, 99% of them post stuff that's about prayers and pray for me and this is some wonderful thing that happened. And, they're really nice people. I very, 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 very seldom have anything that is not nice and neat and clean. But the thing is, if you get on Facebook or any other place on the computer, you can find that stuff. It's out there. And it can invade you and rewrite your hard drive and ruin your entire life. We can't avoid everything and everyone that is tempting. We can't. It's an impossibility. We're surrounded by the world. And we're told not to live for the world, but to live for God. Well, sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? And that's why we pray. We call upon God. We do what Eve did not do and call upon him for help. Anytime I had done something wrong, if I had just gone home and confessed it, I would have been in a lot better shape than trying to hide it. By seeking the Lord every time we are tempted, we avoid the slavery of sin and become part of the family of God. John 8:34-35, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So we pray. We pray to God. Anybody ever seen the movie where the hero gets caught up in a net? Boom! It happens all the time. I'm not sure how they set those nets up that people do this, but you know, boom. How do they get out? They cut one strand of rope at a time until they can get free. And that's what we have to do when sin, the cords of Satan surround us and take us in. We need to cut one at a time and get rid of these cords so they will not tie us down. What can we do to avoid temptation? We can spend time in contemplation of God's word. We can pray whenever something enters our mind that we know shouldn't be there. We need to flee from the traps that Satan sets. Each of us needs to call upon the Lord whenever we're tempted. We think to ourselves that we have the strength necessary to keep ourselves from succumbing to temptation. Without the strength of God working in us, we are weak. If I had not been able to call upon the Lord many, many thousands of times, I would have succumbed a long time ago. Seek his help. Do what Eve did not do. Call upon the Lord. Only he can give us the strength. Only he can guide us to where we need to be. Let us pray. Dear Lord God, Father of us all, please listen to us when we cry out to you for strength to resist the temptations we face each day of our lives. Help us to recognize these temptations when we see them so we can avoid being infected by the slightest sin, which may grow until we are slaves to the evil one. Dearest Lord, keep us as members of your family, protected, strengthened, and guided by your words. We ask that you reach down your hands into our community and offer your healing touch to the members of your family in need and comfort to their families. We ask it all in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.